Hello, this is YouthCast, and I'm your host, Molly Adams. Ece Erdiguz grew up not really belonging to any particular group. She considers herself half Kurd and half Laz, two minority groups within Turkey. And when she was making this radio feature that we're about to present here on YouthCast, she was a student at the United World College, USA, in Montezuma, New Mexico. As a third culture kid, someone who belongs to a culture that neither his or her parents are a part of, usually someone with immigrant parents, Ece wondered how this made her peers feel, since United World College has kids from all over the world there. What sets this feature apart from the usual touchy-feely, everyone belongs vibes of stories of outsiders is its structure, traveling around through time from present to past, and Ece's strong voice that carries us through her own experience. This is Peculiar Privilege and the Elegy by Ece Erdiguz of the Youth Media Project.
Sometimes, life awards us with peculiar privileges. I'm a Turkish citizen who is ethnically half Kurdish and half Laz, a minority group from the Eastern Black Sea. When I tell someone my ethnic origins, I usually get a mystified look back, followed by a smile. There is a big difference between the way I am received by others and the treatment of people like me in different regions of Turkey. My peculiar privilege is that I have never been subjected to first-hand discrimination in this country of mine where the words Kurd and terrorist are synonymous. I am indeed privileged because people around me always found my ethnic background to be an amusing mixture. It is indeed amusing, I must say, that I lived in a country as a minority for 17 years and discovered how it feels to be the other when I arrived at the United World College, a utopia where 200 students from all around the world study and cherish diversity. My discovery came along in the context of the Youth Media Project, in which students are encouraged to reach out socially and politically via new media. When I interviewed my friend Tina, I was just really testing the buttons on the recorder. So Tina, I said, what's it like being a Chinese girl in Germany?
I feel like I don't belong anywhere because when I was in China, I was like kind of outsider because I look different. And when I was in Germany, I also was kind of outsider because I had an accent and I also looked kind of different.
Fierce silence filled the room. Other participants' eyes disapproved of my intrusion into a private world. But I wasn't ready to give up so easily.
When you were determining who you are, what type of problems did you face?
Sometimes I just felt really sad that I'm not belonging anywhere, and this is actually like I was kind of blaming my origin, but I never wanted to abandon.
As Tina talked, I was coming to the realization that the real-world experiences of people who are identified as different have been quite different than their experiences at the United World College. In that moment, the light bulb went on in my head, and I had found a theme for my first project. I was going to explore how it feels to be the other. So I asked them.
My name is Michael Aleman. I am from Chicago, Illinois, but I am actually the son of two Mexican immigrants.
First generation American. My parents came over from Haiti in about 1985.
Hi, I'm Rita Suri from New Jersey, and I'm an American Indian.
My father's in the Air Force, and I lived in Turkey for 2 years.
As a third culture kid, growing up in a culture that doesn't belong to your parents, how did you cope with identity construction?
I was never really aware of the fact that I was in such an environment until I got older. And I was immersed much more in Indian culture when I was younger because I didn't really have a choice. But as I grew older, my parents, as opposed to my extended family, emphasized American culture.
They dressed me in very, very properly every single time I went to school. While some of my friends went in shorts and a t-shirt, I would go in like a button-up shirt with a proper belt, proper shoes. During like recess, while all my friends were having lots of fun and getting dirty and stuff, I would be having fun as well, but I would be very careful not to get dirty.
Have you managed to immerse yourself in the majority's culture?
I could never really fit in there because people treated me differently because I was Western, and they treated me in a very positive way. It's just that I got more attention than anyone else did.
It's interesting because my black friends are like, oh my goodness, you're the whitest black person I've ever met. And then my white friends are like, you're so black, like, oh my God.
Have you ever come across discrimination?
Well, this one time I was with my cousin in some store, and I was talking to him in Spanish, and there were two guys in front of us, and they kept looking back at us the entire time we were having a conversation in Spanish. And as soon as they had finished paying, as they're walking out the door, they said in a loud voice to us, basically, man, I wish a lot more people would speak English around here.
We had a really bad teacher. She was kind of racist. One time she said a really bad word to my friend from Bosnia. It's like a word against Eastern Europeans. It means prostitute, kind of. And my friend from Ghana and I, we just went outside.
It's part of my religion as a Sikh not to cut my hair. My extended family really followed that rule. My parents also followed it, but after 9/11, my dad decided he had to cut his hair because he didn't want to be accused of any sort of terrorism.
It didn't take long before I came to the realization that ostracizing the other is not a sickness that is only endemic to the more civilized Westerners. Actually, even Westerners claim to experience estrangement when in other cultures. It was always the same question that broke the camel's back. How did it feel to be the other?
There's so
I emphasize
the kids used to call me an Oreo and like,
and I don't try
meaning
to
I'm black on the outside, white on the inside.
In a strange way, I consider myself a little bit Canadian because I've had to pretend to be Canadian sometimes.
The more I interviewed and heard stories about being a minority, the more my own mind searched for memories otherwise hidden beneath my consciousness. There it was. My Kurdish grandmother's funeral. And a tradition that is indigenous to the Kurdish that sends shivers down my spine. The elegy. The incredibly loud, disconsolate, and melancholic cry of prayers in a language I do not speak, in a manner that is so unfamiliar, and in a community that is so distant. I got down on my knees and blocked my ears, not out of childhood fear of death as my parents thought it was, but out of unavoidable estrangement. When I started my quest to dig into the feelings of the others, I assumed I had never been subjected to those feelings. Only after talking to African Americans, Latinos, Asians, and an American expatriates, I finally turned to myself and realized that we all had memories that were the keepsakes of our cultural identities. It was Rita's father's hair, Mike's clean clothes, my memories of an old funeral. But one need not go miles away and be in foreign lands to be the other. One can even feel alienated within her own community, within her own family, simply on the basis of cultural disconnection. We have all felt different at some point, so our commonality is our experiences of otherness. I will go visit Kars, my father's hometown in eastern Turkey, as soon as I can. I will contemplate what it means to be the other for many years. Now I know, for one thing, that if human differences are easy to spot, similarities are even easier.
That was Peculiar Privilege in the Elegy by Ece Erdoğuz of the Youth Media Project. Next time you're on the internet, why not head over to our blog at youthcast.org. All of our past episodes are there, plus bonus material like interviews and videos. And if you have an account, become a fan of ours on Facebook. If you don't have an account, it's pretty much the best reason for you to make one.
This has been Molly Adams for YouthCast, a project of Generation PRX. Generation PRX is a website devoted to supporting, connecting, and distributing youth-produced radio. Check it out at generationprx.org.
YouthCast, where radio makes you wish you were young again. Swimming.